From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Hey, our connection this hour is made with a place, a third place to be specific, not referring to a ranking. I'm talking about a social setting that is sort of your place after your home, which is often the first place, or work, which is often the second place. Third place can be a bar, restaurant, bookshop, coffee shop, somewhere where you can say to a bartender or a barista, I'll have my usual. A place to quote the theme from the sitcom Cheers, where everybody knows your name. In her editor's letter, Leah Stacey, you're hosting the rest of this program. I'm done. No, City Magazine's Leah Stacey writes about third places. And it's fitting, with this month's issue being about all things food and bev. She writes that the scene has really returned to the pre-COVID times. And so what better time to celebrate the people and places that make the region's food and beverage scene stand out, from some of the staples among local restaurants to the art of veggie burgers and craft beers to luxury dining on wheels. We're going to talk about all with the team here. I was just talking to Patrick Hoskin before the program began. I ripped through and read this whole thing this morning, and now I'm like, oh, man, asking them what they wrote about last month is like, they're 2 months ahead here, so good luck remembering anything, everybody. Leah Stacey, editor-in-chief of City. No, we're going to have fun. It's food and bev. You're always thinking about food and bev.
I'm always thinking about the next meal. Actually, I was just saying that to Berto on the way down here. I was like, why didn't I eat? We're about to sit here for an hour. I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about food. I didn't even think about that part.
So much worse.
But you're going to be talking about third places. That's really what this is about. Berto Lagares is a multimedia reporter for City Magazine. Hey, welcome. Thank you for being here in studio with us.
Thank you for having me.
I mentioned Patrick Hoskin, arts and culture writer for City Magazine. Welcome back to you.
Thank you, sir.
Ryan Williamson, director of strategy and operations for City. Hey, welcome back to you.
Thanks for having me.
Pre-COVID times. I mean, you mentioned that it kind of feels like we're are we back? Is it back?
We are so back.
We're so back.
We're so back.
We're so back.
Thank you for handing us that.
Turns out we are going back.
Yeah.
See what I did with the political theme there?
Ooh. Wow, way to bring it down. Thank you.
No, it's pre-COVID times back. There's a lot happening here. And one of the things that I think is a tremendous service, if nothing else, and the whole magazine's a service. But I can guarantee you there's a lot of people listening right now who maybe you have a regular restaurant place or a favorite. But the amount of times you go, boy, let's go to such and such restaurant. You're like, oh, that closed 5 years ago. Oh, it's not there. Or it moved. Or I didn't know that they partnered and they expanded.
Mm.
And what City does is I feel like City just keeps me very current when all the forces of my life are trying to make me out of style. You know, so.
Well, I love that for us and for you.
I love it for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you do it. Tell me about the mission of this particular issue, Leah Stacey.
So this is our second annual Food and Bev issue. It's something that we decided to add last year just because that doesn't mean we don't have food and bev content in every issue, but we really feel that the scene here is very strong and there are a lot of great stories to tell, and the scene keeps growing, which gives us content for these issues every year. And I'm very happy with this one. I think we had a wide range of pitches. Actually, this might be our highest amount of pitches every year. It's a very popular issue. People have a lot of feelings around food and beverage. And it's also such a community building topic. I mean, a meal is something everyone can enjoy. You don't have to speak the same language. You don't have to live in the same part of town. It's something we all understand. And so I would say we weren't even able to tell every story we wanted to tell, but we were able to schedule some of them out over the next year. And I'm, again, just really pleased with how this issue came together.
Ryan, same, happy?
Yeah, to quote the Buffalo Bills, everybody eats, right?
They said that together as a team.
It's something everybody
That's
does.
A sports
I'm
phrase,
with you.
Leah.
I'm with you. Sorry, I don't want to talk politics. I want to talk sports. What has this become?
What City does really well is it brings not just great writing, but outstanding visual content. And we're going to cover a lot this hour. We're going to start on Berto's photo essay, and good luck. We are going to tell you about the best of, which is coming here, and some things that you ought to know about best of. And you're going to hear the voices of some of the people who are featured later this hour on this program. So we're going to pack it. But Berto, where did they send you off to for this issue here?
They sent me to Restaurant Good Luck.
Restaurant Good Luck, which is now, I mean, that's one of the older restaurants in town now, isn't it? Can you believe that?
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Of a certain category, I would say.
Of a certain category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we didn't start with just them. You had a little bit of a journey your first month here.
It was a learning curve, for sure. We were pretty ambitious with, I have a notebook filled with pretty much every restaurant that is in Monroe County that I've like either tried reaching out to or just deep diving, because our theme was family meal, which is at first I thought was something that everyone knew, but turns out that was the biggest hurdle, was like communicating what family meal was. So we went from some people saying, yeah, we do serve families, to me explaining,
so
you know,
wholesome.
What that is. So yeah, it was great. It was great. It was a learning curve.
So what did you say, Berta, when they said, oh no, yeah, we serve families?
I was like, oh, that's not
that's not what we're looking
that's
for.
That's not what I'm trying to figure out here.
So define it. What's a family meal?
So family meal is a longstanding tradition in the restaurant industry in general, where essentially, you know, you got a long day of service ahead of you as a staff, and you want to make sure that your staff is fed, and a way to like connect with each other, but also of course make sure you're all fed and ready and energized for the chaos to ensue. So that's essentially what it was. And also it's an opportunity to be creative as chefs and staff. And then it is also an opportunity for to reduce waste as well. So, you know, you have special ingredients that are going to go bad, using those up in creative ways to, you know, feed everybody and also not have to throw things away. So that is what the goal was for this one.
It looks so lovely. Your photos in the magazine here, everyone looks so pleased, just so pleased. And then I'm like, excuse me, the bear tells me that this is not what's going on. What is the truth, and how did they hide it from you?
Honestly, what you see is the truth. I was fully immersed. They took me in as one of their own. It was fantastic. I was absolutely impressed by the orchestration that they've had going on. And they let me know that, you know, earlier in the week, it's a bit easier, and it progressively gets harder and harder as, more and more people are going to be showing up, less ingredients, more ingredients, all sorts of different things. The prep changes constantly, but one thing was for certain, and that was family meal was going to be served before service and those doors open. So it was pretty incredible. I mean, I was stressed out, they were not. So they were moving. I mean, everyone knew what they were doing. There was like just kind of like no a few verbal communications, a lot of, you know, behind corner these things. Everyone knew what was going on. I absolutely did not. I just tried my best to stay out of their way. And what's even more impressive is that the family meal was delicious. They did let me, partake. So that was nice.
Well, you know, Leah, I'm trying to remember, because again, I read this hours ago, so you can't expect me to remember everything.
Yeah.
I think it was Dan Martello who talked to Berto about, you know, the importance of, one person's down, the other person's up, and you're bringing each other up. And it really did sound, to use the word, wholesome. And here's what it makes me wonder, Leah, and this is probably a whole separate show. The reason shows like The Bear are popular is because there is some truth to how difficult an industry this is. There is some burnout that happens. There's sometimes higher levels of substance abuse. Again, I'm not talking about anything in Rochester. I'm talking about the industry writ large. And what I wonder is this like, is Good Luck the example of this is the best we can do it? And some people are going to get burned out because it's hard. You're working evenings. It's constantly moving. But it doesn't have to be The Bear all the time. Or is that just me being hopeful? Because I'm like, oh, I really like Good Luck. And they've been there forever. And
I think it's like any other
old
industry.
Old man, Sarankowski. I'm sorry, go ahead. Chuck's older than he looks. He's like almost 60. Go ahead.
Dead. I think it's like any other industry where it comes down to management and the way that you treat your people. And I think, you know, with this, and it's funny that you mentioned The Bear, because this idea was a little bit inspired by The Bear. And when we were talking through it, we were kind of like drawing some correlations back there. I like our stories, even when they're local, to have this sort of like national nod. And
sure.
I think
mm-hmm.
with so many people watching the bear, it was cool to show like, oh, you saw this, as you just mentioned, but also it happens here in your backyard at a restaurant you may have had dinner at recently. So we like to pull those neatly together, and it really worked for this one. But, you know, I think when a restaurant stays open and proves excellence over and again, it does go back to ownership management. It's like our industry, even. Like, you people have to be happy in their jobs and thriving, and, you know, taking care of your staff with something like Family Meal is a really great example of that.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Berto, I'm looking at your piece here and I'm thinking, sometimes a company or a business is led by an innovator, but the culture isn't very good. And as good as you can be as an innovator, if the culture suffers, you will torch your employees and your enterprise will collapse. You can be kind of just a middle of the road person who's not much of an innovator, but with a great culture, and you can exist for a long time and be happy. Good Luck seems like it's kind of both. I mean, like, this is an example of pretty innovative stuff. They know what to keep around, what works. They know when to change it up. But the culture does seem pretty good, and that's hard. It's hard to put a price on that, I would think. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, the culture was just undeniable. Because
hard to fake it just to you.
Yeah. I mean, it was impressive. Just like, you can tell they truly have each other's back. Just the camaraderie amongst them all it was just very evident. So like, it's working. It is definitely working. And as stressed out as I felt, being someone who has no idea how they're doing this, they were very comfortable and like, you know, This is nothing. We do it all the time. We can manage. And I think it was Faith who mentioned, like, when something's a priority, it's not hard to do, essentially.
That's literally how I feel, by the way, when I go up to the fifth floor. I'm like, oh my gosh, I do not know how the City Crew does this. This is too much stress. Too much stress. How do you do this? I mean, that's how anybody feels appreciating people at the height of what they're doing, especially when it's sort of breakneck pace. But that's great stuff. That was really fun. There's a piece in here about veggie burgers, although it's like veggie sandwiches or, you know, different size veggie something. So Patrick Hoskin, I mean, like, what's the category of? We talked about what a family meal means. What is a veggie burger? Like, what's the category you were writing about here?
I became a vegetarian, pescatarian, but in 2022, and so I've always been on the lookout for what makes a really good veggie burger.
Why, by the way? I'm just like,
Mostly health reasons, but also my wife is one and has been for a long time, so I think it just kind of inched into that realm, and I was like, yeah, I'll just do it.
Okay.
And so I, you know, and like, you, if you've ever ordered a veggie burger, a lot of them are black bean based.
Yeah.
You know, that's like one of the go-tos. You get your sort of garden burger where they just kind of load it up with veggies. Since joining City, I was kind of interested in doing a story like this where we try to find your more interesting ones. And so, like, the one that I think is our sort of like main photo for the piece, we took it, Jake Walsh, our art director, and I, we went to Swill Burger, and their veggie burger is pretty much, it's like the main ingredient is beets. So the patty's red, it's made with rice, and there's some raisins in there to kind of balance out the sweetness of the beets. So I was like, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, really this whole thing was just an excuse so that I could go around and eat a bunch of burgers. But I was really fascinated by learning about, okay, who's doing what? Who's doing an interesting patty? Like, Owl House does a chickpea one. Okay, that's cool. What does that taste like? Is that kind of like a fritter? So just trying to figure out, like, what are the sort of the novel ones? The one at, you know, Red Fern, which obviously is a really expected place where you'd find something like that. It's all vegan place. It's like a lentil-based one. The Gatehouse, we went to Gatehouse, and they have like a sort of a meatless meat sauce on theirs. So, yeah, there's just like some interesting things, and I think, like, you know, the thing that is most interesting to me is, like, you know, there's no shortage of like frozen veggie patties, and I do eat my share of those from time to time. But if you're going to a place and, like, you know that they're making, if they're make, using fresh ingredients or using interesting ingredients to make the patties, like, right in house, that's kind of what I was after.
Yeah, you mentioned that Shake Shack is doing fried portobello, which I actually I would say 5-10 years ago I thought I saw more portobello, and now I am seeing more black bean, but that's out there, whereas Bill Gray's and Tom Walls, they're doing the black beans.
They're doing primarily black beans, although like some of them, it's just like it's hard to tell. Like you bite in and you're like, this could be any number of things. And I don't mean that it tastes bad, because a lot of them do taste very good, but it's just genuinely when you're eating it, it's like, I really don't know what this is, you know? And I tried to stay away to that end. I tried to stay away from the Impossible and the Beyond.
Yeah.
Those were not included in this because those are really meat substitutes as opposed to like a real veggie patty in my eyes. That was an important distinction that maybe only existed in my head, but that was important.
You went to a lot of places. You went to the Chains, you went to Gatehouse, you went to Dogtown, Redfern. We mentioned Swillburger. It's a Owl House. It's a bunch. Is there, if you had to have one, you know, for the rest of your life, you got to choose one. What's it going to be?
I think probably Swillburger, because the beat's in there. I think it really won me over.
Okay. Is that what you would have expected going in? Have you had a beat?
So I had had that one before, and that was the one where I was like, well, is there anything that is as good to me as this one? And I think there are, but that just in terms of like the look of it, like you put it, you get it, it's like glowing red, you know, it's like you can load it up with ketchup and all these other things, but it kind of exists on its own playing field. Because sometimes like, and what also I learned was, the better the patty, typically like the lighter the bread will be used, because like the people who are really proud of their patties, I feel like, are like, let's not get in the way with all a bunch of carbs. Like, let's get the patty, you know, and you can taste that. Whereas if it comes on like a massive, like doughy bread, they're probably like, yeah, the patty is what it is. So, and that's not a hard and fast rule, but that was a correlation that I think I found.
Oh, that's very interesting. By the way, I think it makes sense that Swillburger would have to make a great non-meat. Do you call it a burger?
I think so. I think it's on the menu as a burger.
They would have
burger.
To. And here's my theory on why. If you're a vegan or vegetarian and you go to Swillburger, their meat burgers are so good that they can break you unless they have an amazing alternative. That's my theory.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So you've been broken by them.
Oh, my. You said Swillburger? Oh, my. Yes. It's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. But now I'm very curious to try the beets.
Yeah, the beets are good. I think the more, and, you know, we mentioned Shake Shack, too, that there's the portobello one. They come so hot, like the cheese inside is unbelievably hot that I feel like I've always burned my mouth on those ones. But they do have like a proper like veggie patty now that has like crispy like fried onions on it, which I'm down to try if I'm gonna go lean into more of the chain stuff that hopefully doesn't result in like third degree burns to my face.
You can wait like a minute before you eat.
I can't.
You cannot.
You might be able to, but I cannot. No.
This is really fun. By the way, before I turn, before I turn the page on this.
Nice.
Okay. Thank you. Nice. Thank you. Birdo had to fill that one.
Birdo's new enough still that he will throw you a bone.
That one got me.
Yes.
That one got me.
Nobody is going to throw me a bone, but Birdo, thank you. You mentioned Impossible, and you didn't want to touch. I get why. I am curious to know. And I think it's been years since we've talked Impossible on this program. Like when they kind of were coming out, it was kind of all the rage. Is it? It's still very niche. It doesn't. I mean, has it not lived up to?
Well, now that you can like, so Burger King has one of them. I think they have the Impossible. So I think they have an Impossible Whopper, and then I think, if I'm not mistaken, like there are certain. I don't know if it's like the fast food chains or if it's like Tyson and you're like frozen food, like meat proprietors are trying to get in on the game. I think one of them like owns part of Beyond. I think like Tyson maybe owns a part of Beyond or something. So like it's all kind of like just a part of the whole meat industry now, or like it's been incorporated in a way where I think is fine. But I don't know. Because I think like when you talk about plant-based, I definitely don't eat enough vegetables as is, like even as a vegetarian. So I was like, if I can, even in the burgers, if I can go and like find something that when I bite into them, I know that I can see vegetables, that to me is like subconsciously healthier than whatever like an Impossible burger is like made out of or processed through. So I don't know if that's true or if that's like impacted the market, but I do know that like they seem very established now to the point where it just kind of only like feels like, I don't know, like business as usual, but not in like a super plant-based direction.
What are you, like a big Oreo guy?
I do like an Oreo. Yeah. That's true. We actually just had a little taste. This is a little plug. We did Food and Bev issue, we had to taste the Oreo-flavored Coke Zero up on the city floor.
Oh, gosh. Fantastic. That sounds awful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, opinions vary.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved it.
Jake also loves it.
Yeah.
That's the high bar that we're setting up on the city.
Oreo flavored Coke. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It was a hard pass for me. I did try it, though. Very sweet.
Tasted like a cookie.
Yeah.
I don't. If I want a cookie, I want to eat a cookie. I don't want to drink
That's
it
how I
Coke.
Feel.
Yeah. And you had the Coke flavored Oreo.
They sell them together.
No way.
Yeah. It's got Pop Rocks in it.
Okay. Now we're veering into ridiculous territory. By the way, anybody at this table besides Patrick, have you had an Impossible Burger in the last year anywhere?
Absolutely not.
No.
Just not interested?
No, I'm very uninterested. I'll eat a grilled cheese first.
Okay. I've heard this might be, fake news. Are they're pretty bad for you?
I think that they're no better for you, certainly. Yeah, they're just as processed. Yeah.
I think I don't want to speak for the audience. Listeners, if there are Impossible Burger eaters out there, or if you're vegan or vegetarian, or even if you're just curious about it, it's been a long time since I've even kind of gone in that direction. They felt like it was really hopping for a bit, and now it's kind of, maybe I'm just missing it. So send me a note and get me up to speed on that, and maybe we'll talk about it separately. But I think that's correct. I don't think it's like anything but marginally better or not better at all. So anyway, we're talking to the team from City about what they've been writing about, what they've been eating, what they've been drinking. You heard Gino Finelli host this program last week talking about the craft beer scene, which is at a really interesting place because, very few endeavors can grow forever. And then the question is, how do you hit cruising altitude and what does it look like when you level off and how do you stay smart and kind of adapt? And that's a great conversation to go back and listen to. He's got great stuff here in the magazine. And before we turn to the next particular conversation, I do want to spend just a moment and have Leah Stacey and Ryan Williamson tell you a little bit about Best Of, what this year's process looks like, because a lot of our listeners are very familiar with that. It is an institution, but what do you want them to know, guys? What's up with Best Of?
Yeah, so if you are just hearing about it, you've missed half of the competition, the Best Of, because we have passed our nomination phase, and we are now in our final voting phase of our top four. In most cases, if there is a tie, there is more than four. But you can go to rockcitymag.com and click on Best Of. It's right on the homepage. And vote for your favorites in Rochester. How many categories do we have, Leah?
I think we're at 141.
Yeah.
Without looking.
And so that's going to be our January issue. We're going to publish the winners. We're going to have a big party. More to come. Keep an eye on our socials at
January
Rock City
3rd.
Mag. Yep. But it's always a great issue to keep in your car, keep on your coffee table to see the best in Rochester.
Yeah. And just a reminder, we don't pick them. So if you are voting, these are community nominated. There still seems to be some confusion about that.
It's a reader poll.
Yeah, it's a reader's poll. These are community opinions, and we tally the votes and we put them out there. And there's anywhere from 3 to 6 finalists. We had some four-way ties. It got interesting this year, but in fairness, we kept those top ones in there. So, yeah, get out and vote. It's been fun to see everyone tagging us and getting excited about being nominated. And it's a fun month with us.
Best burger. If it's an Impossible Burger, we need to shut the awards.
It's not, but Swill Burger is on there.
Yeah. I'm not going to just shill for Swill Burger. There's a lot of good burgers. I mean, you guys can carry your own water over there, but it's great. It's actually great. So check out the awards there. I love that just because it puts the spotlight in a lot of different directions in this community, and there's a lot of people who deserve it. That's what City has been doing. It's there for how long? What's the timeline here?
Till December 13th at midnight.
December 13th. And then announced winners are when?
January issue, which will hit the stands at the party on January 3rd, but they'll be on the streets right after that, around then.
What would disappoint you the most in terms of someone winning?
Oh my God!
Have you ever won, Evan?
I didn't want to talk about this.
You are nominated.
Once an
again.
Hour when City's here, I love asking a question that makes just Leah go, "Why did we agree to come?"
I'm just gonna take my toys and go home.
I'm gonna take my toys and go home. City is wherever you find your cities now. City Magazine and the team from City's here. It's Food and Bev. It's a great tradition. They do such a great job on the scene. And I think we're gonna switch out here. Patrick Hoskin, before I let you go, can I just ask you briefly to tell us about what you wrote about with Food Link here?
Yes, so FoodLink has a community cafe in the Central Library's Bausch & Lomb building on South Ave, and it opened in 2021, kind of the whole idea behind it being they offer subsidized meals, you get a really good lunch for $3, and it's subsidized, so you can kind of pay what you can, and it's a great option for a lot of folks in the community. And part of what was compelling to write about is FoodLink has an apprentice program for folks who want to end up working in restaurants. And so the cafe is staffed in part by folks who are in this program. And the way the program breaks down is people begin, you know, sort of, you can have no food experience at all. You really start at their community kitchen and you really learn very basic knife cuts. You learn kind of the real, like, back of house restaurant sort of basics 101. There's, I think, like a pretty intensive, like, training in that portion of the program. But then the second half is very much working in the cafe. It's customer facing. It's taking orders. It's making the food, like, and serving it and all that stuff. So I was able to go over there and had a pretty incredible lunch and talked to a lot of folks who have gone through the program who now work there. And it's just, like, a great option. The food, like I said, is delicious. And there's kind of something cool about the community cafe where, you know, folks who maybe aren't necessarily able to afford the meal every single time are dining with people who, you know, are probably working fairly good jobs nearby who can maybe help pick up the change for some of these folks. And everybody's eating together. And, yeah, it's a cool thing. And there's a lot of really cool success stories, folks that come out of there, people who have kind of launched their own line of work or their, you know, their own. I'm just looking at Kejana, who's in our main photo of that piece. She launched her own Rasta pasta sauce that she's canning now. So there's a lot of folks who've gone through that program who've learned a lot. People who want to run food trucks, people who want to, you know, open their own restaurants, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it was cool. It's a cool experience over there.
And where is it again?
It is located at the Central Library in the Bausch & Lomb building across the street from, like, the sort of main building at the Central Library.
Go have lunch. Do it.
Love it. Have lunch.
Thank you for being here, Patrick Hoskin.
Happy to be here.
We're going to swap out his seat for our colleague Raquel Steven, who's going to join us in just a second. Raquel's going to talk to us about a piece called Royal Treatment here. And are you ready to pop in here?
I'm...
Let's go.
Oh, right. Smooth transition.
Raquel's like, don't you break. There's no break.
There's no break.
There's no break. It's public. What do you think? We got 6 minutes commercial banks here? What is this, 1180? No, it's not 1180.
Oh my gosh.
We've got friends all over town. Come on. We're allowed to poke
for
fun.
Now.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to the team from City about the new issue of City Magazine. Raquel Steven, our colleague, wrote a piece called Royal Treatment, and Petey King is on the line with us. You want to give us a little introduction of Petey King here, and we'll say hello, Raquel?
Woo! All the way from Miami, making Rochester his second home and bringing the fried lobster.
Grill Kings.
Yes.
Grill Kings.
And I know down south, like, seafood is a big thing. They decorate their seafood. So he kind of brought it up here and he put, like, luxury cuisine on a food truck.
And I'm going to say Berto's photos here. Like, I was talking to producer Megan Max this morning. We're like, we are going to Grill Kings. Like, ASAP.
You need to.
Let's go. Hey, Petey, are you there?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm here.
Well, welcome. You want to tell the audience a little bit about you know, your location on wheels and your location that's not on wheels and your ambition and what you're doing now?
Okay, yes. We have the Mobile Grill Kings mobile restaurant. I call it a mobile restaurant because it's basically a restaurant on wheels. We basically could do everything on there that we're doing at the restaurant. A lot of people, they can find the restaurant Tuesday through Saturday at 447 North Street, 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. That's the permanent location of brick and mortar. A lot of times the Mobile Grill Kings restaurant is for if you want to bring the same vibe and the same food to your party, your get-togethers, weddings, celebrations. We even do a lot of company events and things like that of that nature as well, where we could come and bring it to you live. Anything that could be fried or grilled, we could do it live for you.
Raquel, what I love about this story is you're capturing the spirit of somebody who came up from the South. He is now making here in Rochester a lot of what he experienced in the South.
Yes.
And he tells you essentially that, you know, he's not going to be content just to kind of stay in the shadows here, that he thinks his stuff is good enough that it deserves the attention.
Yes.
And he's going to put himself out there. Did it rise to that level for you?
Wow, he's so humble. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, you got to advocate for yourself. You got to advocate.
Petey is coming through those doors, and he's coming through swinging. And I think he definitely deserves his flowers, and he's trailblazing right now. And he's bringing this this type of lifestyle, right, to the inner city.
Definitely trending, for sure.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, he had every right to say, hey, I'm here.
I'm here. Take notice.
There's a lot of different things that you can see on there. Whether, like you said, the fried lobsters. We also take like king crab. We deshell them and fry them. Mm. We do stuff like stuffed salmons and we have stuffed lobsters. So it's a lot of different things that you'll see of your normal seafood. We put our new twist on it, add different flavors and, you know, different mixes. So you could have a little bit more of the finer things in life.
Ooh, is there anything that you cannot fry, Petey?
I haven't seen it as of yet. It seems like anything that could be grilled or fried, we're doing it right now.
Oh, he's probably frying up some Cap'n Crunch every morning. It's amazing.
We ain't going that far.
I shouldn't have come on this show hungry because, wow, I should have ate before I came on this show.
Berta, were you,
all of us.
Berta, were you just taking pictures or did you get a chance to sample here?
Oh, I definitely got to sample. I had to take some home and actually I took it here. I had it on a lunch break and I kind of lost track of where I was. I was in a whole other world. It was unreal. I specifically had what's pictured here is the Hennessy wings. That's actually what I ate. That was unreal.
What are the Hennessy wings? Tell us about those, Petey.
It's a creation that I made. It has a sweet with a nice little kick to it, a warm into it. So it's real soothing when you're eating a chicken wing. That's the best way to go ahead and describe it. It's sweet with a little spice and soothing. You'll love it.
Petey, what do you remember most about, you know, your food experiences growing up? What stood out to you?
A lot of the things is creating a lot of things from scratch, putting your twist on it, always being a student of how different people cook things. So I had a lot of different foods that a lot of different people cook it different ways, and they cooked it good. So it just always being a student of the craft and learning the different ways on how to put it together. So that's kind of how I came up with a lot of my ideas. I was like, okay, this looks good, that looks good, and start putting a lot of things together that we normally probably didn't eat or normally just think of sideways into one dish.
Pretty good. So before we let you go, Petey, what is the plan for conquering, if it's not the world, Rochester? What are you going to do next year?
We have more food trucks that's getting ready to come out for 2025. We're also going to add another location in Miami and Atlanta that's coming. A bigger location in the Rochester area is coming also as well. It's just constantly growing the brand, constantly growing the business, constantly putting the legwork in, constantly making sure that, you know, they respect my work and my creativity.
Petey, thanks for popping on with us, and I hope everyone listening knows where to find you, but tell them one more time where they can find you.
You can find me Tuesday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at 447 North Street, Rochester, New York. Or you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, any one of those social media sites at Grill Kings. You can also book us. We could pull up directly up to your party, your event, your job, you name it. Wherever you at, we could come to you and bring all the flavors to you, right to your front door.
Congrats on the success so far, Petey. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
That's Petey King. And before I let you go, Raquel, I got to say here, you know, as you say, you know, telling his story, he's already got a fan base.
Yes.
But you love covering these stories of big personalities, don't you? It's easy to root for someone with a big personality who really loves what they do.
Yeah, and I feel comfortable because I'm the same way. So it's just me just seeing what you're doing. And if you put in the work, then I'll definitely give you the recognition. And he's been putting in the work. So it's fun writing stories about people with big personalities. They give you so much content. so I enjoy it a lot. And I write it pretty quickly because... it's good stuff.
He has the best quote about a lobster I've ever seen in a City magazine. I don't know if I can read it here. But
I did ask Leah, can I put this word in? She said, yeah. I said, okay, thank you.
I think we can say it here, but we're gonna refrain. Royal Treatment is the story. Raquel Stephen, the author of the piece there. Thank you for being here, Raquel.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, and it's Grill Kings there, Petey King. We're talking to the team from City, and we're going to turn our attention now to one of the other third places. And before we bring on our guests on the line here, you know, Leah, you mentioned in your editor's note there the value of third places, and I just want to briefly ask you here, what's the first third place that you're going to this week here? So for me, it's usually Sanctuary. It's right next door here to WXXI. Mm. I have a usual now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to have a usual for it to count as a third place for you?
No, but I think it helps because I think it's supposed to be somewhere where you're comfortable and you feel accepted and you can kind of just shut part of your brain off. I know that is helpful for me. I have a work engagement this evening and I know some friends and I are planning to go to dinner after. Tuesdays are tricky in this town. If I had to guess, we'll probably end up at Good Luck or Vern's because those are two they're reliably open on Tuesdays.
I think Lento's does their oysters on Tuesdays.
They may.
Yeah. That would be the bar there.
I think we'll miss it by 9 p.m. That's the other thing. It's like if you're looking at going somewhere at 9 p.m., that also changes your decision making.
This is still a very early town.
Yeah.
And the pandemic made it even earlier.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that maybe we're not going back. Otherwise, we're going back.
It's not looking that way. What we are seeing, I think, is like additional places opening that are staying open later. And like they come out swinging like that. But the places that have, I mean, we just talked about this with Best Of. It was like late night eats past 11 p.m. Dogtown always used to be open. Now they close at 10:45 p.m. It literally says 10:45 on their website. Bunch of people nominated it. I'm like, yo, you guys even...
Can't do it anymore.
You're not going there. Like, you're just writing this in, but like, it's been two or more years running. They haven't been open late.
Yeah. All right, real quick, a third place for you, Ryan.
And my wife has an engagement tonight, so I have my kids, and I'm trying to think of where I can take them for dinner that they can just be rambunctious.
Burger
that's
Bar
not
at the Pittsford
Playhouse.
That's not, that's not McDonald's. So honestly, it's, well, we got to go to Leela's the other night, Leela's in the lobby, which was really awesome. I had a rare night out, and it was great outside.
And then we went to Swan Dive after that.
Went to Swan Dive, yep.
That little fire pit at Leela's is cute.
Oh, it's great. The outdoor, it was such a nice night, a little cool, chilling by the fire pit.
There you go. What about you, Birdo? Quick one. Third place.
Third place. I mean, I feel like I frequent Vern's, like if I'm gonna hit up a third place, I guess. Martine's is a big one as well, but yeah, those are probably like my top two.
Okay. Patrick?
Strange Bird for me. I've been taking my wife and my daughter there, and then when my mother-in-law was in town, we just actually took her, and so we did the whole thing, and we got dessert, and it felt like a rare treat where the whole family was there, and everyone stayed seated for the whole meal, so that was
Shocker.
Great.
Oh, good job, Annie.
I know. Nice. She rocked it.
When I'm not coaching baseball, you can often find me getting a glass at Apogee. That is one of the great places.
Oh, nice
for
segue.
A third place. Third. Well, I don't do anything else, Leah. I hope I can segue. I have no other skills.
I'm really proud of that one though. Like, that was so seamless.
That was so built up here. Maya Johnson Dunn wrote the piece called "Aging Well," and you'll see the picture of Simone Boone, who is, I think, joining us from some airport somewhere. I think. Do we have Simone? Hello, Simone. Let's try that again. Are you there, Simone?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You sound great. So you're joining us from far away somewhere, but it's nice to have you.
Yes, I'm in Atlanta Airport right now.
In the Atlanta Airport. There you go. And Maya Johnson Dunn on the line with us. Hello, Maya.
Hi, Evan. That really was a beautiful transition.
Oh, well, come on. You know, it probably should be nominated for Best Segways. City Magazine, the awards there.
Don't tempt us. We write our own.
You can nominate that one. Maya, I want to start with you here. How many times over the years have you been at Apogee? I feel like I've lost count myself.
Oh, I've also lost count. It was actually one of the first places that my husband took me to when I moved to Rochester. He said it was just
this really comfy, cozy wine bar, and we should go and have some wine and get some cake. And obviously, you have to go back after that.
And it's been 10 years now, Simone. I'm not going to do the cliche, like, can you believe it? But I sort of kind of want to say, like, can you believe it's been 10 years? 10 years. How do you feel about the business 10 years in?
I feel great about the business. I'm, you know, when we first started, you don't know how you're going to feel. Like, I didn't think it would go this long. And now to be looking back, I'm like, what's in store for the next 10? This is amazing. We're still here. We're still strong. And I think loved and supported by the community strongly. So only good things to come.
Tell people where you are if they have not been to Apogee, Simone.
Yes, we're at 151 Park Avenue. So down kind of the quieter end, at least when I started, there was nothing else there. But a few other things have popped up over the years. So between Goodman and Meg's.
And Simone, I'm curious to know, as a you know, certainly a small business, Apogee is in the space, the same space it's in. I don't know if, you know, and maybe you, Maya can talk a little about this. I know you guys have had conversations about where you go next here, but for your customers who've gotten to know you in that space, you know, you're not an empire. You're not in 10 locations. How difficult is it to be a small business, and do you feel like we are on the other side of the pandemic? Does it feel more like 2019?
It's strange. I was listening, talking about earlier, and people closing early, and you know, we are still up until 11. So if somebody's looking for somewhere to go on a Tuesday night, we're sticking it out, and there are people still out there looking. So it's strange in a way. Everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's closing earlier. The culture of going out has changed, but when I stay open, you know, on a Tuesday night till 11 p.m., there are plenty of people that are coming in. So the customers want it. So I'm not sure why we're not adapting to that, but I'm sticking.
Well, Maya, you're a wine writer and educator yourself. You know, you know a whole heck of a lot about wine. What stands out to you about this small business, why it has worked so well?
A couple of things. I think outside of, you know, the reason why you go there, there's fantastic wine. And I really love that you're not just trying all the usual suspects that you might find at any bar. I think Simone does a really fantastic job of curating this really interesting wine list that, you know, she even said herself in the article, you might not see outside of New York City. And here we are in Rochester, New York, getting to try these really delicious wines. And so for that, I feel like it really can't be beat. But there's also something really special about the environment at Apogee. There's this feeling of warmth. You know, you talk about third places and being comfortable and feeling welcomed. I think it's very rare to see the kind of conversation that goes on among the bar members that have not ever met each other before that happens at Apogee. It seems like everybody just kind of leaves as friends. And that's a real testament to this environment that Simone has created over the years.
I think that's really well said, Maya. I, you know, years ago, had a couple of friends who are savvier than me tell me, boy, you got to sit at the bar when you go to a restaurant or you go to a wine bar. Like, you got to sit at the bar. You get a chance to get to know the people who often have created the business and understand what it's all about there. And I have never once, sitting at the bar at Apogee, never once seen anybody come in and feel like they did. They just were out of place, that they just didn't know enough, that it wasn't a good fit for them. I have seen people who have absolutely nerded out and asked for, you know, glasses of Lebanese wine. And I've seen people who, you know, probably have not had much wine ever. And I've never seen someone made to feel uncomfortable. And Maya, I mean, I suspect you take the same approach in your own work, but that is an important standard to reach in wine, because people can feel out of place pretty quickly, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it's funny because I think we talk about this a lot as wine professionals. It's how do we make people feel welcome? You know, we just pour over this concept of how to change the industry for the better. And I'm not saying that it's not without a lot of hard work that Simone has built this space, but I think it's a very different approach when you come from the beginning of trying to create a safe space for everybody to enjoy a product. I mean, at the end of the day, wine is meant to be enjoyed with friends and with community. And so why shouldn't that be at the center of everything that happens?
Well, Maya writes that the next focus could be, you know, taking the Apogee brand a little further. We're not going to have a dozen locations, but maybe there's going to be a mobile bar, or, you know, maybe some other things happening. What's realistic, Simone? What do you want to do?
Well, I am doing, well, first, thank you, Maya, because you should just follow me around and be my spokesperson. You speak about everything. So thank you. Just be
I'm happy to do that.
Yes, I am doing international wine tours. We have just done our fifth one to Greece. And if you're interested, you can join our mailing list by shooting me a DM on our Instagram or a contact on our through our website. We've just done our fifth. I've been doing that since 2019, and I absolutely love it. I had kind of dived into, not kind of, I dived into mobile, having a mobile bar, and it's done. I'm just not, like, ready to launch it because I'm having so much fun doing the travel, kind of the travel wine tourism. So I guess I'm still really exploring how to balance everything, which is every day of my life, one day at a time, just trying to figure out how to balance everything. I'm very focused on the travel and wine tourism. I want to be traveling, obviously, calling from an airport right now. So that's my focus.
Greece the country. You're talking about Greece the country for the wine, right?
No, Greece, New York. Yes, of course.
I had friends who were going to Greece for vacation, and they got delayed 24 hours. So they went to Greece, the town, and took a bunch of pictures around the town of Greece and posted them on their Greece vacation. I love the idea of getting up close to the source. Well, we're going to let Simone get back to traveling. You are very generous with your time. But really, in terms of third places, this is a special one. And I'll just ask you as I close here, Simone, on any given night, how many faces who come into the bar at Apogee would you say you recognize? Like, what percentage?
I would say 80%.
80%. Wow. That really speaks to people having a great experience and coming back. That's fantastic. Thank you, Simone Boone. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you very much.
Simone Boone, 10 years of Apogee Wine Bar. Maya Johnson Dunn, I would read anything you wrote about anything, but great piece here. Thank you for taking the time as well, and I know we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
You have such a good team, Leah Stacey. How do you get people like Maya? I mean, it's just city is where it's at.
Maya is a gem. I don't know how we get her, but she likes writing for us, and I'm so happy that she does.
Let's hope that continues. By the way, Simone talked about, this push-pull on how late you stay open.
Mm-hmm.
That should be its own refreshed conversation on the show. We've talked about it in the past, but I think we need to talk about it. But Barbara called in with an idea of something that's open late. What is it, Barbara?
Hi there. You caught me with my mouth full. Okay.
That's fitting.
It is fitting. Only Leah Stacey has to wait. Everyone else is eating.
Tuesdays and forever, any night but Sunday and Monday, you got to go to Avino, A-V-V-I-N-O. It's down on Monroe, way down near the corner of Monroe and Westfall. It's in a little strip of things there, and it's glamorous, and it's relatively small. I come in the door, and Ben, the bartender, is the best in the world, and he waves, "Hey, Barbara!" And the whole bar looks around like, "Who the hell's Barbara? Why is he waving?" And it's just, it's my home away from home. I feel so much like all that your guests have described about Apogee. It's the same kind of feeling, and a million people, and even I recognize people there, never mind him, The only glitch is that his day off is Tuesday. So if you want to meet Ben, you got to go a different night. But it is open. They serve food until 9 during the week, and on Fridays and Saturdays, they serve food till 10. And excellent bar, millions of good wines, and he's a wonderful bartender. I can't say enough. So it's Avino for me.
What are you, an investor? All right, Barbara, thank you. That is. By the way, I haven't been back there in a while. Decadent bread years ago I had there, and I'm always like, about bread for a meal, but like Avino bread was amazing.
Great octopus. I was just there.
Okay.
Yeah. Avino's
maybe you were there.
Great.
I bet your Barbara was there.
I didn't hear anybody yell her name, but I love that that's her third place.
I know. I love
that. Because I think she summed that up beautifully.
I think that is great. By the way, the third place piece that you guys all write, it should be called We Are Going Back. Mm-hmm. That should have been, because it's like you keep going back to third places. And then again, you get the tie-in to...
You can write for us anytime.
Yeah.
My mind keeps going to Lost, like we have to go back. So sorry. That's every time you say it, that's where I'm going. But I know that's a Scott Pugo situation more than Evan Dawson.
Yeah, it wasn't about Lost.
You missed that
although
show.
We have to go back. We have to go back. No, I was mostly just talking about the election.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Which one?
There was one.
Was there an election?
There was.
Is there something?
Best of election.
Oh, right.
There was an election. It was. I would call it a medium to big one recently.
I see. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And there were different themes. And yeah, we just had it. I think they're done counting.
We're trying to have an escape here.
Yes, we're trying to escape politics. 90 seconds left. The team from City has been here. We've had a great time here. What did we not cover, Leah Stacey? Ryan, what did we miss?
I think just I'm going to shout out an article that I wrote, not because I wrote it, but because I think it's really important for folks to go and look at the Arts and Culture Plan article and go to the survey that we've included and vote for what you want to see from the city and the county as they are putting together their arts and culture plan. Because it will affect you, especially if you're an artist or someone who loves the arts. And I think that's most of us. And it's really important to get our voices in as they are putting this final draft together. So little plug there for all of our arts and culture futures. And that's it from me.
Now you can go eat. Hour's over.
I actually have to go to an interview after this.
Oh,
so
we're
going to see how this
well
works
today.
Out for me. I didn't.
Yeah, bad plan.
I'm drinking juice.
But I do, listeners, follow Barbara's lead, listeners. Send me a note on places that you love to go that are open later. And I hear what you're saying, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I want to know who's still open till midnight in this town. Who's still open to 1 o'clock?
Mark's Texas Hot.
I mean, yeah, that's...
that's a specific that's future for yourself.
A decade ago, it would have been different. I'm confident 2 decades ago, very different. It is a cultural change. But I wonder, like, what would swing that back? Maybe there's just not a market for it. Maybe there just isn't.
Well, you also got to think about the people who have to work those shifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a long time to be in a kitchen, especially if you open it at 4.
No, I'm with you. I'm just, it's interesting to see how significant and permanent that change feels. But nothing is permanent, as we know. I mean,
wow.
In 1984, the candidate won 49 states.
Oh, my God. Stop bringing it back to that. Let us eat cake.
Let us eat.
Let us eat cake.
Let us have that.
I need food.
City Magazine's Food and Bev issue is out now. And go to, where do they go to vote for City? Where are we going?
RockCityMag.com.
RockCityMag.com.
Top of our homepage right now.
Best of for City. Hey, thank you, team. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks
for having us.
That was great fun here. And from all of us at Connections, thank you for listening. We are back. We are coming back. And we're coming back. We're all going back. We're going back tomorrow, right here on Member Supported Public Radio.